Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the worlds of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazla Niso, all the way down here in Cape Town. And today we're joined by new label mate, Katie Trost, as well as Nick Sherrod and Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
So a big warm welcome to Katie Trost, who is just joining the label. She's part coach, part operator, part strategic partner. Katie's a trusted advisor to scale-up CEOs navigating their growth journey between Series B and exit. Right now, there's so much going on in AI from, you know, the tech developments itself, which Katie, you touched on a little bit, to sort of big new policy announcements in every part of the world. As a leader, how can you actually make strategy in this world where everything's changing so quickly? What are your thoughts on future thinking and future planning in a world where there is consistent and constant change,
Katie? Yeah. So I am not so much in the Fortune 500. Most of the companies I work with, they don't have this 5 to 10% annual improvement, right? Most of them are more like 30 to 50%. Mm. And so they need to stay agile anyways, right? They need to think a little bit more like a startup, and you just cannot plan 5 years ahead. Yes, there needs to be a long-term vision. Yes, there needs to be some kind of, you know, 3 year, these are the milestones, these are the goals. We're going to have X amount of products, and we're going to be in X amount of locations, geos. And have so many offices. But on the annual or even by like a half year planning, I think people, especially executive teams, they need to be in constant conversation of, okay, what do the next 3-4 months look like? What do the next 3-4 months look like? So I would say on a tactical level, no more than 6 months, and then revisit everything again. The same is true for, let's say, implementing AI tools, right? Because half of the AI companies today, they're going to be basically overrun by other AI companies who already, you know, in a year's time, make them irrelevant to us. So trying out all of these different tools, if that's customer facing and, okay, my marketing is going to be much better, or my sales org is going to run much more, much leaner, or internally business operations we can improve, right? And it's almost like having an innovations team or an AI team. Even if it's 3 people, but just get a few geeks in there. And once a month, they come together and they're like, okay, these are the 3 tools we're going to try out. We're going to try this in marketing. We're going to try this in ops. And we're going to try this in sales. And let's come back together and brainstorm, right? And that's the only way how we can really implement all of these tools. And then there's going to be the obvious winners, right? And I run the CEO network. And every single time I do the dinner, and it's been probably 6 or 7 months, I've been doing it for 2 years, but 6 or 7 months, where every single time I run the dinner, it's like, which AI tools are you guys using? This is like the topic, you know? So everybody's asking themselves the question, and you don't really have time to think about it that much because you have so much other stuff to address. Mm-hmm. And you have to fundraise, and you have to grow the business, and you have to hire, and you have to build your exec team. And then you have to do this AI thing, which you don't really know the outcome, right? It's not proven anything. So people spend time on it and they don't know what they get from it. But if you don't do it, you're also screwed, right? You don't have the luxury to not do it. So how much time do we spend on it? Which are the best tools? You know, then you implement it. It takes a while to implement, right? This can take like a month or two for everybody to get used to. What if it doesn't have the impact you want, right? How do you even measure this? So I would dedicate small little teams all across the business, especially if it's a bigger business. If it's a smaller company, let's say 100, 200 employees, probably 3-4 people is fine. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, having these small little pockets across the business for let's look at this regularly and let's have a conversation about this in the background as we are building out strategy. And yeah, so I think shorter term planning in a time where things are changing so quickly, not only with AI, I think it's also economically, like just around the world, politically, it's just very, very uncertain since 2019. So just, thinking 4 or 5 years ahead and then reverse engineering. It's gonna be a relic. Like it's.
Yes.
There's an interesting dynamic. So one of the things that in terms of classic innovation strategy, I guess, when you're talking with boards of big companies, is that if you look at the history of it, there's very few times when companies are disrupted by or really undermined by a bad future plan. But there's lots of times when they're really undermined by a bad assumption. And I think there are some really interesting examples of that just now. So I think maybe we see a bit, it sort of have a sort of slightly unusual perspective to be working in label sessions, because you kind of see these kind of boards in different parts of the world. One thing I think is really interesting just now is how American companies are very focused on AI as a kind of technical challenge, if you like. It's really about how can we deploy these tools best, and to a certain extent, blind to anything else beyond it. And then when you're talking to your boards of companies in Asia or Europe, they're very much looking at how do we build some kind of resilient tech? Who do we want to be dependent on? And so there's actually kind of interesting things. I was talking without sort of shaming anybody. I was talking to someone who was so bullish on American AI operations in financial services, I mean, a really big company earlier on in the week. He just wasn't aware that like Standard Chartered were building their infrastructure on Alibaba tech.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. Like, there's just kind of things that genuinely are just like, they're just sort of blind to. So yeah. I think it's a really interesting thing just in terms of for leadership just now is absolutely finding ways to focus on the execution challenges, but also just being aware a bit around, well, I guess it's the classic thing of being close to customers, of being close to what else going on in the world, to kind of see, hey, there's some stuff that seems absolutely obvious. Frankly, there's some stuff that seems absolutely obvious if you're sitting in New York, absolutely obvious if you're sitting in Berlin, absolutely obvious if you're sitting in Shanghai. But these things are not the same. Like this massive, the assumptions in terms of what's going to go on in the next few years are just very different. And I think there's some really kind of really interesting tensions and resolutions in that, and just things for leaders to sort of think through.
Yeah, I think they also can take off the pressure a little bit. Yes, you have to be out there. Yes, you have to be talking about this and so on. But you don't need to know everything. Like, you know, you can still build a great company. And maybe in two years' time, there's going to be the obvious winners. Just like in whatever, Web3, there were the obvious winners. And crypto and so on, you know, you don't have to be always at the forefront of everything. Just being aware of it a little bit. And when you're looking for solutions, not necessarily only look at the traditional SaaS solutions. Also look into, okay, we have a problem. What's the best way to solve this? And then it doesn't matter if it's AI or if it's SaaS or whatever it is, right? It's what's going to get us the best result for the best price and the quickest and the shortest amount of time. So even if somebody is like, you know what, let's just sit this out, let's wait for the winners, we will know in 18 months, right? So it's fine. You can stick your head in the sand a little bit. Because nobody doesn't, right? If you're really realistic about it, nobody sits down on a Thursday afternoon and is like, yes, I'm going to now dedicate 2 hours to researching AI. So that's why I always say, get the, you know, the geeks, so the people who think about this anyways, like right before they fall asleep, right? Let them do it, let them show you, and you just empower a little bit more the junior people in the company as well, right? Because they like this, they're obsessed with this, and they think about it and read about it.
I think also there's about sort of frames of reference as well. So like, I think one of the kind of key frames that most leaders have, especially those that have come up through bigger brands and such like, is the kind of framing of the kind of 100-day plan or the kind of 3-month plan, so to speak. And I think one of the things that's really interesting just now in terms of people that we see doing that most effectively is they kind of essentially get into the mindset of, you know, from all the things that are going on in the world, what are the things that are now possible within that time frame? What are the things I could make happen within that time frame? Which has changed a lot, especially for those of them that are involved in new product development, which is our kind of core area, I guess, in terms of the conversation and label sessions. But in terms of there's so much more you can build within that, there's so much more that's possible to build within that kind of 100-day, kind of 3-month kind of time frame. There's then, in terms of, you've got that kind of sense of possibility, there's then what's probably going to happen if they don't make an intervention, if they kind of go with business as normal, and there's some kind of gulf between those two. And then it's about kind of what they prefer, or like which battles they're willing to take on within that period, which might partly be around execution and implementation and those kind of things. It might partly be around understanding the way, you know, a certain market's going to play out, or kind of what's going on in that kind of space. And I think that's there's some useful framings, I think, for people around kind of saying, kind of realizing there's a lot going on. then actually within the kind of frame of reference they can influence, what are the things they can do that are partly preparing for what's next and partly executing now? And that's a kind of more practical mindset, I think, yeah, for people to have.
I agree. And let the people who are excited about it do this. You know, don't force yourself, like, I must learn this now. No. And if you don't have those people, bring them in, or have an AI expert or somebody who's a consultant to the business. Because otherwise it's just, they're never going to lean into it, though. You know, even with ChatGPT, I mean, I like it, but am I looking for how do I write the perfect prompt? No. And others, you know, they write entire courses on it. Like, this is how you can. And there is a lot of value to it, right? I mean, I was thinking of starting another business, and I did the whole plan, competitor analysis, basically the whole supply chain, everything through ChatGPT. And this would have probably cost me 2 full-time employees for 3 months. You know, yeah. It's incredible. I mean, it's amazing. But am I the best person at ChatGPT? Probably not, you know, so I would probably delegate that to somebody else. And then those people, they kind of find more excitement in their work because they're like, wow, I'm actually getting paid to do this kind of thing, you know, where others are like, oh my God, I need to now do this in my after hours. So I think this is also where the whole team motivation comes in. Just let people do the things that they really enjoy doing. It's, you know, get some great people on board and have them spend time on what they think is exciting. And you will have good outcomes from that, I'm sure.
I really love that kind of takeaway in terms of, you know, rather bring in an expert than sort of muddling around in the dark and sort of kind of going, maybe we do this, maybe we do that, when you can literally just bring someone in whose entire soul is dedicated to, you know,
yeah,
AI. And they're already thinking, you know, what is the next big thing?
Yeah.
So you're kind of able to be a bit more future focused by getting in the person who's already thinking in the future. Which I think is a great way to look at it. And, you know, I think really as well, that shorter term, looking at things in the shorter term, and like you were talking about the 100 days, that's kind of what we're in. We're in sort of a 100 days and then the next 100 days and then the next 100 days situation when it comes to work, because that 5-year plan is now gone. Because we can only go one 100 days at a time is what it's looking
like. Yeah.
And we've seen what you can accomplish in 100 days, whether good or bad. Looking at the US, in terms of, you can do a lot in 100 days.